We are holding on your Zion Umud Bay is about two-thirds of the way down the Umud. The line begins Afilu Pasul. 17 lines from the bottom. We talked in the Mishnah about the Shulchanos, about the tables that were in the Beis HaMikdash, and the 13th one, we said there were 8 in the Beis HaMikdashim, there were two next to the Mizbeach, 2 by the entrance of the Ulam, and 1 inside the Heichal, which is the actual Shulchan, where they placed the Lechem upon him. So now the Gemara is going to talk about that a little bit. The Gemara says, Asara Shulchanos Asa Shloimer. Shloimer, in addition to the Shulchan, the main one, he made 10 additional Shulchanos. As the pasuk says, "Vayas shulchanos asara," he made 10 shulchanos, 10 tables. "Vayanach beheichel," and he placed them in the heichel. "Chamishim yamin behei mismel," 5 on the right, 5 on the left. Now the question is, what do we mean by the right and the left? Do we mean the right and the left relative to the doorway? And by the way, why he made extra tables, and we're going to see soon extra menorahs as well. There's a couple of explanations for it. There's a medrash called Medrash Tadshei that says that the idea was because in Shlomo HaMelech's times you needed much more bracha brought down to the world because Shlomo ruled over the whole known world, so therefore you needed extra shulchanos to bring down that bracha milamayla and extra menorahs representing all the nations of the world. And the Meshech Chachma talks about the idea that since Parshat the floor space of the Heichal was much larger in the Beis HaMikdash than it was in the Mishkan, then therefore you needed more Shulchanos and more Menorahs to fill up the space. Anyway, it wasn't Shlomo's own idea, by the way. The Pasuk tells us in Divrei Yomim that David gave Shlomo all the entire blueprint and all the details of the Beis HaMikdash and told him that it's Hakol Bichsav Miyad Hashem, that it all comes in writing from Hashem, who explained it to me. So these details also are part of that as well. Okay, so what do we mean when we said that 5 of the tables of Shlomo's extra tables are to the right and 5 to the left? Do we mean Ein Tema Chamisha B'Dorim V'Hei B'Tzofen? Do we mean to the right and the left of the doorway, meaning that 5 of them are on the north side are on the south side of the Heichal and 5 are on the north side? Can't be. V'Alo Ein HaShulchan Kosher El B'Tzofen. The Shulchan Davka has to be on the north side of the Heichal, which would be when you're coming into the entrance, it would be to the right. As the Pasuk says in the Mishkan, that the Shulchan you should place on the north side, and we don't find that there was any, that was rescinded when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash. So all the Shulchanos have to be on the north side. What does it mean? 5 on the right and 5 on the left. It means that there were 5 to the right of Moshe's Shulchan and 5 to the left of it. So left and right are relative to Moshe's Shulchan, not relative to the door. So we'll talk in another minute how exactly were they arranged. Were they arranged in one long line, or we'll get back to that point in a minute. Afal Pikein, nevertheless, Lo Hay Mesader Ela B'Shal Moshe Bilvad. But even though there were all those extra Shulchanos, Lechem Aponim was set up only on Moshe's table, only on the original Shulchan. Shenema, as a Shulchan asher olav lechem upon him, as the Pasuk mentions in Divrei Yomim, in Melachim mentions the Shulchan on which there is lechem upon him, implying that there's only one Shulchan that has lechem upon him on it. But on the other hand, Rabbi Yossi, Bei Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, al kulon hayim asader, he says, no, you could arrange lechem upon him on any of them. Korban Eda says doesn't mean they had it on all of them at the same time. It means sometimes on one, sometimes on another. So there would always be only one shulchan that had lachem upon him on it, but it wasn't necessarily always Moshe's shulchan. Shenema, because after all, the pasuk in Divrei Yomim, when it describes what Shlomo did, it says as a shulchan nois, the tables va'aleihem, and on them lachem upon him. So you see, in other words, he says that there was more than one table that had lechem upon him on it. Okay, so the Tanakhama would answer that what it means is there's the tables, and on them, meaning collectively, on one of those tables, namely the original one, was the lechem upon him. Okay, so two different opinions. Now, we have another machlokes. Which direction were the kalim of the Mishkan? Now, we have like this. The Oren, everybody agrees, was placed in such a way that its long axis, its 2.5 amma length, was towards the width of the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash. So in other words, it was 2.5 amos wide. So yeah, you have, okay, the Gemara tells us in Bava Kam and in Bava Basra that Mokum Oren Einim in Amida, you would measure the Kodesh HaKadoshim after the Oren was in, and it would measure the same as before because there was a Ness over there. But the at least when you walked into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you would see the length of the Oren, the 2.5 amos length of the Oren in front of you. The other kalim, the shulchan, whether they're the other three kalim that you have in the Mishkan are the shulchan, the menorah, and the mizbeach hazahav. Now the mizbeach hazahav is square, so there's no machloikus. However you place it, it's going to be square. But there is a machloikus here and also in the Bavli and Menachos about the shulchan and the menorah. Were they placed with their long dimension in the direction of the long axis of the Mishkan, so one end of them is towards the west and one end is towards the east, or were they placed north to south, meaning that one long end of them is towards the is towards the north side of the Mishkan and one long end is towards the south? So the Gemara says, Tony, we learn in a Braisa, Mizrach Amayr of Hoyin Asun and Divrei Rebbe, these Kalim, the Shulchan and the Menorah, and the Gemara is assuming also all the other Shulchanis and all the other Menorahs, were placed from east to west, so says Rebbe. Meaning, in other words, again, that the long ends of them were facing north and south, respectively. So one end, the long sides were facing north and south. So one end of the Shulchan was towards the west, and the other end of the Shulchan was towards the east. That's according to Rebbe. He says it was at a 90-degree angle to that. It was between north and south, so that the long sides was facing east, one long side was facing west, and if you were sitting at the end of the table, you'd be facing either north or south respectively. So the Gemara says, "Mander Amar Mizrach Umayir of Nicha." Now, let's go back then to this question about Shlomo's extra 10 shulchanos. If you say that the original shulchan and all the other ones were placed from east to west, Nicha, then it's easy to understand how they could fit them in Kulan Ru'uyin L'Shirus. All of them are suitable to be used to serve Hashem, to put Lachem upon him on. Because what you would have is, then let's calculate, each shulchan is 2 amas long. The original one from the Mishkan was 2 amas by 1 amma, and we assume that the other ones, the 10 that Shlomo made, were all the same size. So if we line them up, now we have those 40 amas to work with. The length of the heichal is 40 amas. So fine, you can easily fit 22 amas length of shulchanos in 40 amas of the heichal and still have room to spare between the tables. So all of them can be on the north side. But Manda Amat Safin Vidorim, but if you say that the Shulchan was placed from north to south, the north-south axis of the Heichel is only 20 Amos. Nimsa Shulchan Vidorim, Umanoda Bat Safin. So aren't you going to have that some of the Shulchanos are going to be on... don't you have that some of the Shulchanos are going to be on the south and some of the Menorahs are going to be on the north? So the Gemara over here, the Yerushalmi over here, doesn't elaborate. And in fact, there's other problems as well. Even if you were to say, fine, let's say we have no problem with the extra shulchanos being on the south, even though we just said before that all shulchanos are supposed to be on the north, you'd have a different problem anyway. 11 shulchanos placed end to end would be 22 amos, which is wider than the 20 amos of the heichal. And even if you only had 10 of them, then still it would fill up the entire 20 amos. There'd be no room to walk by. So because of that, and because of a few other problems, the Bavli in Menachos, which has a sugya on the subject, explains that really, even according to Rebbe's opinion, it doesn't work out so smoothly if you say that all of them were in one line, because as the Gemara over here is going to say soon, the Shulchan and all the other Shulchanos had to be in the inner half of the Heichal. The Heichal, again, is 40 amos long. You had to have all of them are within the 20 amos away from the door. So you'd have the first 20 amos from the door inward from the door would be empty. And only after that would you start having shulchanos. So because of that, the Gemara in Menachos, the Bavli in Menachos over there concludes that what it was is the tables were arranged in two rows And then you had one, and then you had the Shulchan of Moshe in the middle. The Gemara presents there two possibilities. Either you had a row of five, and then Moshe's Shulchan was in the middle between those two rows, so it would be altogether like a letter H with Moshe's Shulchan being the crossbar of the H. That's one possibility. Or the Gemara says another possibility is that it looked like when you have a Rebbe teaching Talmidim, where you have the Rebbe sitting at the head and all the Talmidim sitting in rows in front of him. So the same way you'd have a row of five Shulchanos, and then Moshe's Shulchan being at the top between the two rows, so that it looked sort of like a letter Ches. Whatever the case, the Gemara over here doesn't elaborate on that whole point. Okay. Continues the Gemara, Ba'atani. Now we learn in a Braisa, Hashulchan hayinosim mechatzia bais v'lifnim. The Shulchan was located in the inner half of the house, in the inner half of the room, meaning again, the room, the Heichel, was 40 amos long. So you had 20 amos of it from the door inward was empty. And then the Shulchan was someplace in the next 20 amos. Moshuch menakosel beiz amos umechze klape atzofen. It wasn't right next to the wall because you needed room between the Shulchan and the wall for the Kohenim to be able to go in. They had every week, they have to replace the Lacham upon him on the Shulchan, and the Mishnah in Menachos describes how they did it, which is you'd have one group of Kohenim coming in with the new Lacham upon him, and another group of Kohenim, another two Kohenim coming in with the new Lacham upon him, two more Kohenim coming to take out the old Lacham upon him, and each one is standing on a different side of the table. So especially according to Rebbe's opinion, that the long sides of the table were parallel to the long sides of the Beis Hamikdash, so of the Heichel. So you had to have, there had to be room between the Shulchan and the wall for them to be able to stand there. So therefore, the Shulchan was moshuch min ha-kosel, beiz amos umechze, klape atzofen. It was moved 2.5 amos out from the wall towards the north. So it was on the north side, but it wasn't exactly against the north wall. It was 2.5 amos away from the north wall. So on a north-south line, it was 2.5 amos away from the wall. On an east-west line, we're saying it was at least 20 amos from the door. Next, Menorah Kenegdei Bedarim. Then the menorah was opposite and on the south side of the Heichel. Same idea with it being 2.5 amos away from the wall, where again, the idea is you could walk through that space if necessary. When we learn Gemara Yoma in a few weeks, Bez Hashem, when we get to the part about the Kohen Gadol going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Gemara has a sugya explaining exactly how he walked through relative to the Shulchan and relative to the Menorah. So this will come up over there. Also, the idea is, again, if the menorah is too close to the wall, okay, you don't have to stand behind the menorah, but if it's too close to the wall, then the soot from it is going to blacken the wall and you don't want that. Then, Mizbeach HaZahav hayonosen be'emtza habayis. The Mizbeach HaZahav was in the middle of the house, in the middle of the room. In other words, in the middle, we mean between north and south. So the Shulchan was on the north side. The menorah was on the south side. The Mizbeach HaZahav is exactly in the middle, centered in front of the Aron. And in terms of east to west, it divided the room from the inner half. In other words, what they did is, again, the room is 40 amas long, so they placed the Mizbeach HaZahav exactly on the 20 amma line. So therefore you have, again, the first 20 amas is empty of kalim, and the next 20 amas has the Mizbeach HaZahav and the other two kalim. Moshuch kima klapit tzofen or chutz. It's moved a little bit outward, or the girsa we have over here tzofen is the girsa that a number of the earlier mafarshim have, which is that the Mizbeach HaZahav, even though we just said it was centered in front of the Aron, according to this girsa, it wasn't actually completely centered in front of the Aron. It was moved a tiny bit over to the north, a tiny bit over in the direction of the Shulchan. According to the girsa chutz, it means that it was moved a tiny bit outward, meaning it wasn't exactly on the 20, it was exactly on the 20 amma line, but it was placed in such a way that it's not in between the Shulchan and the Menorah. You have to have that the Shulchan and the Menorah are able to face each other directly without anything between them. So you had, according to that, the Mizbeach HaZahav is exactly on the 20 Amma line. Then you have the Shulchan and the Menorah, and I guess also Shlomo HaMelech's extra Shulchanos and extra Menorahs are all further in than that, in such a way that the Shulchan is completely facing the Menorah and there's nothing between them. So that in short, in other words, the Shulchan, the Menorah, and the Mizbeach HaZahav form a triangle with the point of the triangle pointing away from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Okay. Again, all three of these kalim were in the inner third of the heichal. Now, before we said the inner half, it depends how we look at it. If we're counting the heichal by itself, if we count the heichal by itself, the heichal is 40 amas. All of these things were in the inner 20 amas. Then it's the inner half. If we count, on the other hand, if we look at the Heichel plus the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the total length is 60 Amos, then what it is that then we count one third, then we're saying what it is you have one third of the total length, 20 Amos out of 60 is empty, and then they're beyond that. So it's two different ways of expressing the same point, that the first 20 Amos of the Heichel was empty, and only then do you have these Kalim. Next, the Gemara says, Eser menorahs osa Shlomo. Shlomo also made 10 extra menorahs. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Vayas menorahs hazahav eser kumishpatei. He made 10 menorahs of gold, the way they were supposed to be. Again, this is following the instructions that David had given him, where David himself had received those instructions milamayla, going all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. And he placed them in the heichal, five on the right and five on the left. So again, what do we mean right and left? Like we asked by the Shulchanos, Ein Temer Chomesh B'Tzofen V'Chomesh B'Dorim. You're going to say it means five on the north side of the Heichel, five on the south. Can't be. V'Aloi Ein HaMenorah K'Sheira Ela B'Dorim. The menorah is kosher to be only on the south side. As the Pasuk says about the Mishkan, the menorah has to be opposite the Shulchan, Al Yerech HaMishkan Temana, on the south side of the Mishkan. So none of the menorahs could be on the north. So what do we mean? Five on the right, five on the left. Means five to the right of Moshe's menorah and five to the left. And again, the Pashtos, according to the way the Bavli concludes, about the Shulchanos, that they were in two rows, and then Moshe's menorah in the middle or at one end, but I mean Moshe's Shulchan at one in the middle or at one end, the Pashtos the same would be with the menorahs, that they were in two rows, similar idea. Even though you had these extra menorahs, they only lit the lamps in Moshe's menorah. As the Pasuk says in Divrei Hayamim, menorah hazav, menorah seha, and the menorah of gold and its lamps, levar ba'erev ba'erev, to burn every evening. This is actually not in the original description of the Beis Hamikdash that Shlomo built. This is actually a few prakim later in a speech by Rechavam, Shlomo's son. But the point is, we see from there that he's referring to only the menorah that has the lamps burning on it, and not all the other ones. On the other hand, Rabbi Yosi bei Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Al Kulan HaYamaver, Rabbi Yosi bei Yehuda says, just like he said before about the Shulchanos, that they could put Lechem upon him sometimes on one, sometimes the other. He says the same thing with the Menorahs. Sometimes they would light one, sometimes the other. Shenema, because you're in the description of the actual, of the building of the Beis Mikdash there, also in Divrei Hayamim, it says, there's some menorahs, and the menorahs, v'nerah sehem, and their lamps, levaram kamishpat lefnei advir, to light them according to the rules, in front of the dvir meaning the Kodesh HaKadoshim. They were made of zahav sogur, they were made of zahav sogur, which means, zahav sogur means, literally it means closed gold. It means gold that's exceptionally refined, as the Gemara is going to go on to say now, and it's called zahav sogur, the Gemara explains in Yoma, because if anybody opens a store to sell that kind of ultra refined gold, everybody else who's selling gold would close their stores because they realize they're not going to get any customers. Everybody who wants gold is going to go for this stuff. So therefore, so here they made the menorahs out of extra refined gold. And the pasuk continues. The point is, in other words, Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda says again that the pasuk says that the menorahs, plural, were lit, implying that all of them, or sometimes one and sometimes the other, were lit. Again, the Tanakhama would say that it means that of all the menorahs, one of them, namely the original one of Moshe, is lit. And the pasuk continues describing the menorah. Va'perach va'neiras va'melkochayim zahav. The flower. We know that the menorah had flower-shaped ornaments on it. Va'neiras and the lamps themselves. Va'melkochayim and the tweezers that they used to adjust the wicks. All of those are zahav. All of those were gold. And the pasuk finishes hu michlois zahav. It was michlois zahav. So what does that mean? What does michlois zahav means? Means kilu zahava shel Moshe. Means they used up all of Moshe's gold. What do we mean by Moshe's gold? Actually, there's a different girsa over here that says they used up Shloima's gold. Now, we don't mean they used up all of Shloima's gold. He had lots more gold beyond that. What it means is that making these menorahs used up all the Zahav Sogur that he had. He still had lots of regular gold, but he didn't have Zahav Sogur after he finished making these menorahs, all this ultra-refined gold. Okay. So talking about that we said the gold for the menorah was very highly refined. Toni Rabbi Yehuda b'shem Asi, Hoya Shloima Notel Elef Kikre Zahav. Shloima started out for each of the these menorahs with 1,000 kikr of gold. Umachnisim Lakur, he would take the 1,000 kikr of gold and put it into the refining furnace in order to refine it and burn off any impurities. Umotzian, and then take it out and then refine it again and again. Adshum Amidon al Echad, until he got down. The original 1,000 kikr of gold was reduced down to 1 kikr of really, really, really pure gold. Which, by the way, I mean, is also meant as a hero in Avodas Hashem, that a person needs to keep on refining, more and more refining their midas and never be satisfied and constantly look to refine them even more. As it says about the menorah, he made it of a kikkur of pure gold. So this is the purest possible gold, where 999 of that parts out of 1,000 of that gold were actually impurities that were mixed in with the gold and now are burned off in the refining furnace. Tanya, we learn in a braise in this connection. It happened once with the golden menorah that Moshe made in the desert. It weighed 1 gold dinar more than it was supposed to. The pasuk tells us that the gold menorah is supposed to weigh exactly a kikkur, no more, no less. A kikkur is somewhere around 150 pounds. This one weighed an extra dinar of gold. They put it into the refining furnace 80 times to burn off that little bit of impurity. And it wasn't missing anything. Not a little bit of it was gone. So the question is, how is that? The Yos, is that how you would expect it? If we just said before that they started with 1,000 kikkur and every time some of it burnt off until after 1,000 refinings, you wind up with 1, surely you would expect in one of these 80 refinings, you would expect that the extra dinner would have been burnt off. The answer is no. Ad dela yakum al barare, before the gold was completely refined, have a chaser sagin. It would be missing a lot. A lot would get burnt off every time, which is impurities. Min dukayim al barare, but once the gold was fully refined, loy chaser klum, then it's not lacking anything anymore. Then no matter how many times you refine it, it's not going to get any more refined. None of it is going to be missing, because what's there is pure, is already pure gold anyway. In fact, the Bavli in Menachos tells the story and tells it slightly differently, that after the 80 refinings, they were able to get rid of that extra dinar. So a somewhat different version than over here, where we're saying that none of it was missing at all. So Mishnah Seliyo explains that they're not really contradicting themselves. That Gemara is talking about where indeed it wasn't 100% refined. It was mostly refined. So therefore, even after 80 refinings, all they got rid of was 1 dinar out of a kikkur, which is a tiny fraction. Whereas our Gemara is talking about once they got beyond even that point where it's 100% refined, then refining it more is not going to get rid of anything at all. Okay. Mishnah says, Halacha Dalad. Now we're getting back to, at the beginning of the Perek, we mentioned a bunch of 13s that were in the Bais Mikdash. One of the first one we said, we were going through them kind of in reverse order. We said the first thing was that there were 13 shofros, which are pushkas for collecting money in the Bais Mikdash. We said they were called shofros because they were shaped like a shofar. they were curved and narrow on top and wide on the bottom, so a person can't reach in and take money out. So we said there were 13 shofaris. We said there were 13 tables in the Beis HaMikdash, and there were 13 places where they bowed in the Beis HaMikdash. So we went through the 13 bowings and what they correspond to. We went through the 13 tables. Now we're up to the original thing. The Mishnah mentioned the 13 pushkas. So there were 13 shofaris in the Beis HaMikdash, the cost of Aleihen, and they were labeled as follows. The first one is labeled Tiklin Chadatin, New Shkolim, meaning when people bring their Machzah Shekel for the year, then it goes into that pushka. Later on, when it comes time to do the Terumas HaLishka, to take the money out that's going to be used to buy the Karbonos for the year or for the season, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, then the Gizbo empties out the shofar into the Lishka, and then they have a whole pile of coins over there, and then they take the Terumas HaLishka from that. The second one was labeled the Tiklin Atikin. The second one was labeled Tiklin Atikin, which means old shkolim. As the Mishnah is going to go on to explain, that means if somebody didn't bring their Machzah Shekel last year, then they can bring it this year and make up for it. But then that's not going to be used to buy this year's Korbanos, because every year you have to use only the money from this year's Machzah Shekel for the Korbanos. And a person can't give more than one, of course, because the Pasuk says, Osher lo yabeh v'adal lo yamit. So instead, it went into Tiklin Atikin, and it eventually went into what we learned earlier in the Masechta, Shiare Halishka, the leftover money in the Lishka, which was used for projects like building the ramp for the Parah Aduma and repairing the walls of Yerushalayim and so forth. The third one was labeled Kinin, which a cane means a net, literally means a nest, but it's the Gemara's terminology for a pair of birds that are brought as a carbon. So we'll see soon in the Mishnah what the kinim are for. The fourth one is labeled the goizle oila. The fourth one is labeled young pigeons for oila. And again, we'll see soon in the Mishnah what that was for. The fifth one is labeled eitzim, wood. If a person wants to make a nedava of wood for the ma'aracha, for the Beis HaMikdash, then he would put money into this pushka, and then the kohenim would use that money to buy wood that would be used to burn the karbonis. The sixth one is labeled levoina. Lavona is frankincense, is a type of spice that they brought Lavona together with most Korbanos Mincha. Lavona was brought together with Lechem Aponim, but a person could also make a nedava that he's going to bring Lavona by itself. And then what he would do is he would put money into this shofar, and then they would take out the money and use it to buy Lavona and burn it on the Mizbeach. The seventh one was labeled Zahav L'Kfoiras. The seventh one was labeled gold for the Kfoiras. So now there is an explanation that the word is Kapoiras, and therefore it means to plate the base HaKapoiras, meaning the Kodesh HaKadoshim, with gold. The Rambam, for example, understands it that way. A number of the other Mephoshim say it's not L'Kapoiras, but L'Kfoiras. Kfoiras is a word, you actually find it in some of the later books of Tanakh, such as Ezra and Nehemiah and Divrei Yomim, where it means the clay shores. The word kfodis, literally, the shodish kaper, kaf peiresh, that word, the shodish literally means to wipe off. So for example, kapara of averus means essentially that the avera is being wiped away. The mizra, a mizrak, the bowls that they use to collect the blood of the korbanos are called kfore or kfodis, because the kohen would wipe his finger on it or wipe his hand on it from the blood on the edge, on the rim of the bowl. So therefore, Zahav L'Kfodis means if a person wants to donate gold, which is going to be used towards making clay shodis. Okay, so that was the seventh one. And then the eighth through the 13th, the last six boxes, Shisha the Nedava, the last six were for Nedava. Nedava is, as we're going to say further in the Mishnah, is they would use those for Kayetz HaMizbeach. They would use those to bring Korbanos Ola for the Tzibur when no other Korbanos are being brought. So that's Nedava, and we'll see eventually in the Gemara. We'll talk about in the Gemara why they needed six boxes. Okay, so let's explain what the first few of these boxes are for. Tiklin Chadatin is Shabachol Shana Vashana. Tiklin Chadatin, the new Shkolim, means the Machzah Shekel that's given every year, where the person would place his Machzah Shekel in that box. And again, eventually it would be emptied out into the Lishka, and then they'd take the Terumas HaLishka from it and use that money to buy the Korbanos and for the other operating expenses of the Beis HaMikdash, as we learned in the fourth parak. Va'atikin, the second one we said was tikkun atikin, is mishalo hevi eshtakar, somebody who did not bring machzor shekel last year, shekel l'shana haba, then he brings his machzor shekel the next year, and he puts it in the tikkun atikin box. And eventually it'll go for projects like repairing the walls of Yerushalayim, and then repairing the water channel in the Azara, and so on and so forth. Next, the next two, we said were kinin and gozle oila. So, kinin hein torin, the one labeled kinim was if a person wants to bring, now we know there's only two kinds of birds that are kosher as korbanos, torin, which are in English they're called turtle doves, and bnei yona, which are regular doves, common doves, and the din is torin are kosher as a korban only when they're adults, bnei yona are kosher as a korban only when they're young. So therefore, so kinin hein torin, the box labeled kinim was meant if a person wants to bring torin, if a person wants to bring turtle doves as a korban, the gozle oila hen bnei yona, the one labeled gozle oila, young pigeons for oila, was for people, a person who wants to bring pigeons, bnei yona, kulon oilas, divrei Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda says, both of those boxes were meant for people who want to bring in a dova, and therefore all the money in those boxes is used to buy oilas. Now, you sometimes have where a person is required to bring two birds as a korban, and most of the time, most if not all of the time, when a person is required to bring two birds, then it's a chatas and an oila. For example, a zav or a zava brings two birds, one for a chatas and one for an oila. A woman who gave birth, if she's poor, brings two birds like that, one is a chatas and one is an oila. A metzora who's poor does the same thing. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, for reasons that we're going to see in the Gemara, there was no box that was used for kinei choiva, where a person is required to bring a korban, a chatas, and an oila, for reasons that we'll see in the Gemara. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, if a person is required to bring two birds, for example, a woman who gave birth, or a zav, or what have you, they would have to give the money directly to the kohen, and he would go and buy the birds, or you would go buy the birds yourself and give them to the kohen. By the way, when people put money in this box, every person would have to be putting their money in a bundle of its own. Otherwise, the problem is, what are you going to do? You're going to end up using the money. You're going to end up taking a handful of money out of there, and then you're going to have some coins from one person, some coins from another person, and you're going to be buying one korban with it. And you can't do that. So they have to have each person's money was in its own little bundle. Anyway, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the point is there's no box for kinei choiva. Both of these boxes, kinim and gozlei oila, were meant for people who want to bring voluntary korbanos. One for people who want to bring torim, and one for people who want to bring bnei yona. V'chamim, and the Chum say no. Kinim means echad chatas v'echad oila. The one labeled kinim was for people who are required to bring bird korbanos, where one is a chatas and one is an oila. Gozlei oila, kulan oilas, the one labeled gozlei oila is for a person who wants to bring two birds completely as an oila. So according to the Chachamim, there is one box for people who are obligated to bring a korban.
Isn't that the same as kaitz mizbeach?
No, kaitz mizbeach is, first of all, kaitz mizbeach is not birds. Korbanos tzibur are never birds. Only korbanos yachid can be birds. Kaitz mizbeach is when there are no other korbanos being brought and the mizbeach is just sitting there idle, then they would bring kaitz mizbeach. They would buy animals with the nedava, with the money from the nedava boxes, and bring those on the mizbeach. And as the Mishnah is going to continue, the skins of those korbanos would go to the kohenim like the skins of any oila does. No, these boxes that we're talking about over here, kinim and gozla oila, again, according to the Chachamim, you have some people that are obligated to bring two birds, one as a chatas and one as an oila. So they would put their money into the box labeled kinim. Other people are not required to bring a bird korban. They decide one day, I'd like to bring a korban to Hashem, but I can't afford an animal. So instead I'll bring two birds. So they would put their money into the gozle oila box. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, either one of them could put their money into either one of the boxes. It depends whether they wanted to bring Torim or whether they wanted to bring Bnei Yon. According to the Yehuda, there is no box for someone who needs to bring birds, a chatas and an oila.
So after they put the money inside, and the Vesmish will take the money out and buy new birds.
Right, so that's the job of the kohenim. In fact, we learned in the fifth perek, we said Psachia ala kinim. We said Psachia Zemordechai was in charge of the kinim. Part of his job was to make sure every day that the money in that box is disbursed, is used to buy the birds that are necessary for the korbanos. All oilas according to the Yehuda, or some of them chatoris and some of them oilas according to the Chachamim. And then he would also be responsible, as we said, for dealing with cases of mix-ups, which we have a Masechta Kinim, a Masechta Bishnayas, which is somewhat complicated, that deals with, even though it's only three prokim, it's rather complicated, that deals with cases of mix-ups like that. So Psachia's job was also to deal with those mix-ups. By the way, as far as things like that, where a person brings birds voluntarily as a korban, the Medrash tells a story in that connection. The Medrash tells that one time Agrippa Samelach, from the end of the second Bais Mikdash, one time he decided that he wanted to bring 1,000 korbanos one day. So he asked the kohen and basically to reserve the mizbeach for him that day. Answer them in the middle of bringing the korbanos, and all of a sudden a poor person shows up with a couple of birds for a korban. And they tell him, I'm sorry, right now the Mizbeach is reserved for Agrippas' Korbanos. The Yid tells him, let me explain to you what the situation is. I'm a hunter. I hunt birds. I trap birds. Every day the Eibishter helps, and I'm able to trap 4 birds. I bring 2 of them as a korban, and I use the other 2 to feed my family. If I can't bring the 2 for my korban, then I'm afraid Hashem is going to take away the bracha from me, and then I'm not going to be able to get the other 2 for my family. So they had Rachmanos on him, and they let him bring the korbanos, despite Agrippas' reservation. And that night, Agrippas had a dream where it was told Min HaShemayim that poor person's 2 birds were more beloved by Hashem than your 1,000 korbanos. And the next day, Agrippas went and asked the kohen, what happened? What do you mean, what 2 birds? I thought I reserved them as Beach. And they told him the whole story. And he was very happy, actually, that they had done that. And he told them they did the right thing. But there's an example where a person brings 2 birds voluntarily as a korban, and both of them are oilless. You don't bring a chatas voluntarily. Okay, onward. The Mishnah says, Ha'oimer ha'reolai eitzim. Suppose a person says, I am making a nedava of wood to the Beis Mikdash. Lo yifchis mishnei gzirin. He should bring at least 2 pieces of wood, because every day on the Mizbeach, they brought 2 pieces of wood together with the Tomat Shachar and together with the Tomat Shabbain Abayim. So therefore, 2 pieces is the minimum to be considered Eitzim, and especially because he said Eitzim in plural, which means at least 2. And we'll see in the Gemara what the size of those pieces of wood should be. Levoina, if a person says, I obligate myself to bring Levoina, to bring incense on the Mizbeach, lo yifchis mikoymetz, then he has to bring at least a koymetz, at least a handful of it. One thing is, though, the Mephoshim do explain, this is when he's saying specifically that this is when he's just saying Eitzim or Levoina. But for example, a person could say, I'm bringing as an Adava 1 piece of Levoina, and that would be valid, and they would be makriv that on the Mizbeach. But if he's saying generically Levoina, then it has to be at least one handful. But again, Korban Eda says, if he wants to bring just 1 grain of Levoina, then that's also valid. Zahav, a person says, I'm donating gold to the Beis Mikdash, again, without specifying how much. Lo yifchis midina zahav, it shouldn't be less than 1 gold dinar. Then we said in the Mishnah, shisha l'nedava, we said earlier that there were 6 boxes for nedava. So, nedava mahayu oisimba, what did they do with the money from the nedava boxes? They would use it to buy oilus again for kaitz amizbeach, for times when no other korbanos are being brought. So they would bring oilus, and the result is habosal Hashem va'oilus la'koyanim. The meat gets burnt in honor of Hashem on the mizbeach, and the skins go to the koyanim. Now, why is that important? The Gemara says zem medrash dorash Yehoyada koyan gadol. Yehoyada, the koyan gadol, one of the koyanim gadolim in the time of the first Beis Mikdash, he was the one who crowned Yehoyash as the next king. We read the story as the Haftarah of Parashas Shkalim. So he doushin as follows. You have a posuk in Vayikra that's talking about a korban osham that says osham hu. It is an osham. Oshaim osham la Hashem. He is guilty. He brings an osham to Hashem. Now, the question is, Osham Hu implies that it's like a regular Osham, and a regular Osham, we know the Koyanim eat the meat. On the other hand, Osham Lashem suggests that we're talking about something that goes completely to Hashem, namely that it's burnt on the Mizbeach. So what is it? Is it something that is burnt completely on the Mizbeach, or is it something that the Koyanim eat? So Yehoyada, Darshan, from that Pasuk, Zehakwal, the rule is like this, Anytime you have money that came from a chatas or from an asham, so we don't mean the actual value of the chatas or the asham itself. That, of course, the person has to bring the chatas, the person has to bring an asham, and the regular rules apply. What we mean is, for example, if a person has money left over from a chatas or money left over from an asham, or you have, let's say, the different cases where you have, let's say, a person had an asham that he couldn't bring for whatever reason. Let's say it got lost, and let's say it got lost, and then he found it only after he brought another one, or for example, develop the mum or whatever. So all those kinds of things, you lock up ben oilus, and the money is used to buy oilus. Habasal Hashem ba oilus lakoyanim. The meat is burnt in honor of Hashem, and the skins go to the koyanim. Nimsu shnei ksufim kayomim. So thus we're fulfilling both parts of the pasuk. Hashem la Hashem ve Hashem la koyan. It is going to Hashem, but there's also a component of it that's going to the koyanim. Va'omer, and you also have a pasuk in Melachim that explains the last pasuk about Haftorah of Parashas Shkalim that shows how Yehoyada Darsh in this. The pasuk says, "Kesef Asham v'Kesef Chatos lo yuva beis Hashem." Money of Asham and money of Chatos should not be brought into the house of Hashem, meaning it's not used for repairing the Beis Hamikdash. La koyanim yihu, it goes to the koyanim. Now it doesn't mean obviously that just means money that was designated for a Chatos or an Asham goes to the koyanim. What it means is that money ends up being used for something where the Kohanim will have a certain benefit from it, namely an Ola, where they get the skin. Now, why are we focusing on the Kohanim in that case? Why doesn't he say, Lashem v'la Kohanim yiyu? So Tiklan Chadadin explains, you have to think of it. You could have figured like this. He brings from the Vilna Gaon. You could have figured if these are Nedava, then they should be like the Bedek Abayis. The Bedek Abayis, we learned a few days ago, is exclusively for Hashem. The Kohanim have no Hanah from it. It goes completely towards the renovation and the upkeep of the Beis Hamikdash. So you would think this Nedava should maybe be the same thing. So the fact that it goes La Hashem is not really a Chiddush. The fact that part of it goes La Kohanim, that's the Chiddush, and that's why the Pasuk stresses that Chiddush by saying La Kohanim Yiyu. But in fact, the actual korban itself is burnt for Hashem. This only the skins go to the kohanim. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. Tanya. Now, again, we said in the Mishnah, we had Rabbi Yehuda telling us that the boxes, the shofaris, labeled kinim and gozle oila are all for voluntary brood korbanos. They're not for brood korbanos that a person is required to bring, like a woman who gave birth or a zava, etc. So Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, loy ha yeshofer shal kinim b'Yerushalayim. There was no shofer for kinim that a person is required to bring in Yerushalayim. There was no such thing. If a person is required to bring a pair of birds, one is a chathas, so one is an oila, they would have to give the money directly to the kohen or buy birds themselves and bring them to the kohen. And the reason is, Rabbi Yehuda says, "Mipnei ha'taruvus," because you have the problem of money getting mixed together. Shem or Tomus Achas, what happens if one woman, let's say, who gave birth and is chayav to bring two birds, what happens if afterwards she dies? Now you have. Now what happens is, we know that there are cases of chatois hamesis, where you have an animal or a bird that was supposed to be brought as a chatas, but now it can't anymore and it has to be left to die. So in the case, one of those cases is mesu ba'aleh, where the owner of the korban dies, because we say en kapara lemesim. So what happens? So if a woman, so suppose then you have everybody's putting their money into the shofar. Let's say they do put money for a korban that they're required to bring, where the korban they're required to bring, remember, includes a chatas. What happens if afterwards this woman dies? Now what happens is one of those bundles of money is money of a chatas amesa. So just like the chatas itself, if there was an actual bird there, would have to be left to die. The same way, if there's money in that situation, it would have to be thrown into the Yamamelach. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, so you can't have a shofar for kinei choiva, because what happens in that case? You're going to have money mixed in over there of a posel of korban. So that's why he says that there was no shofar for kinei choiva, for birds that you're required to bring. Okay, so the Gemara says v'hotanya, but what do you mean? We learn in a b'raisa, ha'isha sha'omra ha'reo la'kein, if a woman says that I have to bring a cane. Now, usually the word hareolai means that somebody is making a neder or a nedava, that they're bringing a voluntary korban. But over here, actually, korban ha'eda changes the girsa and says that the word should be ha'isha sheyesh alei leida oziva. The Tiklan Chadatin also has that girsa. But even if we say that the word is hareolai, what it means is, he says that you have, this woman is saying, given that I know that I have to bring a kain choiva for the fact that I just gave birth or was a zava. Now, what should I do for? What should I do about it? So they tell her. So they tell her go bring the money. Mavia may kain. She can bring the money for the pair of birds. V'nei sante b'shofar, and she places it in the shofar that's labeled kinim. Then later that day she can tovel. She can tovel. Or it doesn't say vatevelas, whatever. She tovels as well. That evening after tzeisik achavim, she's already allowed to eat kodshim. She doesn't have to be concerned that the Kohen was lazy and didn't get around to bringing the Korban, because we know that the Kohenim are Zrizim and they're going to make sure the Chazaka Kohenim Osim Shlichusim. It's a Chazaka that the Kohenim will do their Shlichus. Korban Na'edah says it differently. The Chazaka is not so much on the individual Kohenim, the Chazaka is on the Beis Din of Kohenim, which they're responsible for running things on a day-to-day basis. In the Beis Hamikdash, they're going to be responsible to make sure that that money is used and the Korban is brought. So she doesn't have to be concerned about that. The Eina Kohen Choshesh Shemad Mechatoris Mesis Muravis Behen, and the Kohen doesn't have to worry that some of the money in that box might be from Chatoris and Mesis. Now, we don't see Rabbi Yehuda disagreeing over there, so it seems that everybody agrees you don't have to worry about Chatoris and Mesis. So we're back to the question then, why, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is there no shofar for Kinei Choiva, for cases where a person has to bring a Chatos and an Oila? The answer is ki kamrinan b'chatoris shemes baleen vada. You know what? We're not talking about a suffix. You're right. If it was just a suffix, whether one of the women or one of the people who placed money in this box had died, then you're right. Rabbi Yehuda would agree we don't have to worry about that. But Rabbi Yehuda is concerned that what if we know for a fact that somebody died, but now we can't pick out their money. So the money money may be labeled. It's not necessarily labeled with the person's name, though. It's labeled with it's in a bundle. It's labeled that it's needed for a chatas and an oila, or for two oilas. It's labeled turden or vneyona, as the case may be. It's not necessarily labeled with the person's name. So suppose we know that of all the people who visited the Beis Hamikdash today and brought money, one of them died. Now the thing is, we have a vadai that somebody died. We don't know who it was. We don't know which is their money. So now Rabbi Yehuda says, now that creates a problem. By the way, there's the question, why don't we just say the money is batal? And the Mishnah Lamelech explains, because money is something choshuv, and a davar choshuv is not batal. Okay, so the Gemara says, so why don't we say v'iyamrina nivra dalad zuzi? Now, what we could conceivably argue is we should take one bundle of four zuzim out of that box, the nishti binara, and throw that into the river, and assume that that one is the one representing the one of the person who died, the idach lishtru, and the rest of them now are going to be mutter to bring. The problem is hamin and ba'almud of Yehuda less le breira. We say in other places in Shas that Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of the concept of breira, and here in order for this to work, we would need to invoke the concept of breira. And Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of that. L'maisa, in other places, the Gemara mentions the maskana that we hold a breira in things derabbanon, but not things deraisa. So therefore, so over here, then we're talking a din deraisa. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, so definitely according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can't use that expedient. Therefore, according to him, you have no way, in case somebody dies, to be able to fix up the situation. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't want you having a shofar for kinei choiva at all. If you have a kain choiva, you have to bring either the money or the birds directly to the kohen, and they'll take care of it. That way, there's not going to be any mix-ups. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, we talked about in the Mishnah, if a person wants to donate wood for the Beis Hamikdash, and we said the wood was eitzim, wood, woods in the plural, so we said he has to bring at least two pieces of wood. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yose Bei Rabun, or Rabiva, Omer, Rabba Bar Memel Boy, he says that Rabba Bar Memel asked. Now, asked can mean he asked a question as in he didn't know the answer. Or it can mean, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, sometimes in the Yerushalmi, when it says that somebody asks, Tikkun Chadatin says, means not he's asking, I don't know the answer, but I'm asking, I have a svara on this, do you other Bnei HaYeshiva agree with this? Anyway, the question is, so the question or the statement is, Hare alai eitz, mevi gizer echad. If a person said, so we said if a person says eitz sim, then he has to bring at least two pieces of wood. What if he says, Hare alai eitz in the singular? So then he can bring so then he can bring one piece of wood. So according to Tikkun Chadatin, that's the answer. Again, according to him, Rabba Memel knew the answer. He's just asking if the other Chachamim agree. According to Korban Eide, he's actually asking the question, given that he said eight, can he bring only one piece of wood, and that would be valid. Amr Rabbi Lazar. So Rabbi Lazar says, I can prove that he could. Masnisa Amr Kain. A Braisa says exactly that. When it comes to we say that every day the Kohenim bring Shnei Gzirei Eitzim, two pieces of wood, together with the Korban Tamid Shel Shachar and together with the Tamid Shel Ben Habayim. And what it is in the morning you had two pieces are carried by two different Kohenim, and then it's one or the other. I don't remember. We're going to learn in Yuma in a few weeks, Bez Hashem, that you have in the morning it was one way, and in the afternoon it was the other way, where one of them you had two Kohenim bringing the two pieces of wood, and the other one was you had one Kohen carrying both pieces. I think in the morning you had two separate Kohenim, and in the afternoon you had one Kohen, but I may have it the other way around. Whatever the case, the point is, the Braisa says, Shazek Korban Rifnei Atzmai, Vzek Korban Rifnei Atzmai. We say that each one is a Korban by itself. So in other words, one piece of wood, yes, is a valid Korban, and therefore we see that one Korban is able to carry it by himself. Kahai de Tanenan, Tamon, as in fact we learn in a Mishnah in Yuma, Shnaim Biyadim, Shnei Gizir Eitzim, that you had two Koranim, each of whom was holding one piece of wood. So therefore, we see that one piece of wood by itself can be called a korban, and yes, and therefore, yes, if a person says Harei Alei Eitz, then it's valid to bring one piece of wood as a korban. And also, korban l'rabbis to eitzim. Also, another proof is that b'chlau, when the pasuk says v'nefesh ki sakriv korban mincha, the word korban is extra in the pasuk, and therefore it teaches us that a person can bring wood as a korban. And therefore, again, we see from there that wood is called a korban, and from the previous proof we see that even one piece of wood can be called a korban. So again, if a person says eight sim, he has to bring two pieces, but if he says eight, then it's fine for him to bring one piece. Okay, what's the size of the pieces that he brings? Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Omar, Oivyan Amma, the thickness of the piece of wood has to be an Amma, but Amma Shechekes, and for that you use a generous size Amma. We learned back in Erevin that you have Amma Shechekes, or Soichekes, and Amma Atseva, and Amma Shechekes is where you hold your fingers or you hold your hands a little bit loosely next to each other, so it's a slightly larger Amma. And then you have Amma Atseves, which is where you press your fingers and your hands tightly together, which is therefore a little shorter. So the thickness of the pieces of wood is measured using an amma sechekas, a slightly larger amma, for oaken, but amma gduma, but the length of them is a short amma, meaning an amma a little bit less, slightly less than a regular amma. Rab Chuni, b'shem Rab Ami, k'min turtani. Rab Chuni says in the name of Rab Ami differently, they had to be like a turtani. A turtani is the beam of a balance scale. So it's much thinner. So Korban Eder explains, we're talking about the thickness. That first we were saying, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was saying they have to be an amma thick, and now Rabbi Chuni is saying that no, they only have to be as thick as the beam of a balance scale, which is much thinner. Tikkun Chadatin brings that explanation. He brings another explanation that they have to be all exactly the same length, the same way as a balance scale. All the length of the beam of a balance scale is always exactly the same length. Okay. So now, why are the pieces of wood only an amma in size, and why specifically an amma gduma? Why a short amma rather than a full size amma? Because in the mizbeach that Moshe built in the Mishkan, the place of the ma'aracha, the place of the wood pile on the mizbeach, was only one amma by one amma. Therefore, you want the pieces of wood to be only an amag duma, so that they don't stick out of the makam amaracha into the area where the kohenim walk. What it is like this: you have the mizbeach, the mizbeach achitza in the Mishkan was 5 by 5 amas. Of that 5 amas, you have one amma on each side is taken up by the kronos in the corners. Then you have another amma inside that is the walkway for the kohenim. And then you have, so then you have, so you have two strips of an amma wide. circling the Mizbeach, and therefore you only have an Amah by an Amah left in the middle. So if you made the pieces of wood a full Amah in size, then they would stick out a little bit into the walkway of the Kohenim, and you don't want that. That's why they had to be an Amah G'duma. The Tony Kane, and in fact, we learn a brisa like that, Amah HaYisoid, the Yisoid of the Mizbeach was an Amah tall and also an Amah wide, Amah Soviv, the Soviv with the ledge around the middle of the Mizbeach that the Kohenim would walk on when they bring a chatas, where the blood of the chatas has to be daubed on the four corners of the Mizbeach, that was also an Amah wide. Amah Kaukov, then you have an Amah was the width of the walkway for the Kohenim around the top of the Mizbeach. The Amah Kronos, you had an Amah for the corners of the Mizbeach. The Amah Ma'arocha, and therefore in the Mizbeach of the Mishkan, all that was left was an Amah for the Makom Ma'arocha, and therefore even in the Beis Mikdash, where the Mizbeach was much larger, they still kept the same size for the pieces of wood. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Lavoina lo yifchitz mekoymetz. We said that if a person wants to donate Lavoina as a korban, then he has to bring at least a handful. Now, where do we get that from? So we make a gzeira shava. Nemakan azkara. When it comes to Lavoina, when it comes to the Lavoina that's brought together with the lachem upon him, it says that it should be azkara. It should be for remembrance for Hashem. V'nema lahalan azkara. Then you have by a regular korban mincha where you take out a koymetz. It says that the koymetz is an azkara. Therefore, ma azkara. Just like when it comes to a regular korban mincha, the azkara consists of a koimetz, a handful of flour. Af azkara ha'omokan b'loy koimetz, the same way the azkara of lavoina in connection with the shtei alechem is a koimetz, and therefore that means that when a person is saying I'm going to bring lavoina, then the amount is a koimetz, but not and not less than that. So the question is, okay, but when you consider it then, that by the lachem upon him, you had, in other words, we're saying there was one koimetz, now there were two spoonfuls of lavoina on the shulchan all week, and then they would offer them on the mizbeach on Shabbos. So therefore, so you don't have one koimetz, you have two koimetzin. So af askara hamura kan shnei koimetzin, maybe then the askara of a regular mincha should have to be two koimsin, and maybe also, therefore, if a person wants to bring lavoina, it should have to be two koimsin, not just one. Amar Rab Ila, but Rab Ila says, no, klum lamdu l'koimetz ela milachem aponim, o mimincha schoite. No, because when you think of it, where do you learn the concept of a koimetz? We're saying you learn it from the lachem aponim, or the girsa outside of parenthesis, you're learning from mincha schoite, from the mincha that a person brings for a korban ol v'yored, where there's nothing else in the mincha except flour. Just like over there, if the koimetz is missing anything, then it's possible. It has to be a full koimetz of flour. And if it's missing anything, it's possible. Afkan, koimetz a chosser possible. The same way over here, a koimetz that's missing a little bit is possible. But we see, in other words, that. So we see, in other words, that even, yes, by the lachem upon him, you have two koimetzin, but you don't need two koimetzin in this case. All you need is one koimetz. And in fact, if you were to have two koimsin and one of them is bigger than the other one, then it would in fact be possible, because you have to have each one has to be exactly a koimetz in size. So therefore, the same way over here, when a person wants to bring lavoina, it just has to be one koimetz, not two. Okay. So the Gemara says, there are actually a few different gyusoris and a few different explanations on this piece of Gemara. It's a little bit difficult. And Gemara says, Amr Rab Yosef, Milsa de Rab Ila Amra. Therefore, we can learn from this that Rab Ila is saying, where he's saying that we learn the fact that it has to be a koimetz of Lavona. We learn it from the koimetz of the Lachem Aponim. In that case, that tells us, Hamisnadev Lavona, Mincha or Lavona, Mevia Bekumtse Shokoyen Godol. There has to be, you don't say he would bring his own size koimetz. You would have to measure it using the koimetz of the largest koyen who's there. The reason is, in other words, like this. The lachem upon him, they have the lavoina with it. Every Shabbos, we're saying you take the lavoina and burn it on the mizbeach. Now, which koyin is it going to be who's burning that lavoina? Obviously, they don't know in advance. They make a girdle to determine, they make a pious to determine who's going to be the one who does it. Now, different koyin have different size hands. So what you have to do is if a koyin has larger hands and he's bringing a smaller koymetz, then it's going to be no good. So you have to measure the koymetz according to the largest size koyin who's there. In other words, koyin gadol over here doesn't necessarily mean the Kohen Gadol, the head of all the Kohenim, means the largest size, the Kohenim has the largest size hands. So therefore, over here also, based on what Rabbi Elazar is saying, if we're learning the fact that the Lavoina that a person brings as a Nedava has to be a Koimetz, then that would mean also it would have to be the Koimetz of the largest Koyan who's there. On the other hand, Rabbi Loi, B'Shem Rabbi Elazar, or Rabbi Chizki, B'Shem Rabbi Yimeah, no, V'afilah B'Koimetz HaBailim, no, it doesn't have to be the size of the Koimetz of the largest Koyan who's there. It's good enough if it's the Koimetz of the owner, because we learn from a Koven Mincha, we don't really learn from Malcham upon him, and by the Koven Mincha, you can give it to any Koyan you want, you don't dafka have to give it to a Koyan with large hands, therefore by the same token, the Lavoina that you're bringing voluntarily can also be the size of your hand, it doesn't have to be the size of any particular Koyan's hand. Okay. We'll stop here. We'll finish.